You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's John Gibbons for the Anfield Wrap, and I'm delighted to be joined for a chat about ticketing and everything that's going on by Phil Dutton, who's head of ticketing at Liverpool Football Club. So, Phil, welcome to the Anfield Wrap.
Morning, John. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks, very well. I'd say better now because I've been to watch Liverpool recently and I was at the Spurs game. And I mean, just to start with that must give you immense joy, Phil, to be able to have, you know, be able to work so hard to get some Liverpool fans back in the ground to watch the Champions.
Yeah, it's been 9 months. It's been 9 very long months. And obviously, when your job's to sell tickets and get people into venues, it's difficult when you can't do that. So, you know, even 2,000 fans is amazing. It seems surreal when you've got 54,000 seats and 52,000 of them are empty. But just have 2,000 fans back in is a great start. And hopefully we can continue. And you said yourself, you've been to the Spurs match. The atmosphere's actually been really good.
Yeah,
but it's actually been better than sometimes when we got 54,000 fans in there. But it's been, everyone who's been to the game so far, the Wolves match and the Spurs match, they've absolutely made a massive effort to try and improve the atmosphere and you know, encourage the team to do well. They have done in both games, so it's been good.
Obviously, there's been challenges around it in terms of, you know, you having to come up with a whole new process and obviously then having to teach it to the very people who are used to doing absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it seems to get hold of this, and I'm saying this as one. We are the laziest. You know, normally we don't have to do anything. We just turn up with our card, swipe it and get in. And so, you know, having to come up with a new system but then communicate, that must have been tricky.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you. So we were told to plan for 13,000 fans in October. That was kind of the plan. So we worked our way towards that, and then it all got shut down and we were told, right, probably nothing until January, February time because of just the way the pandemic was going. And then we literally got about 24 hours notice that there might be something, and then literally said, right, you've got 10 days to get everyone into Wolves, which even in a normal world is difficult. But we've just launched a new ticketing system which was supposed to go live back in March for season ticket renewals. So no one had used the new ticketing system. And we also decided to go with the NFC technology. That's something that we've been kind of looking at for a while now. And the plan was to kind of tie it into the new ticketing system. And it was going to be about an 18-month, two-year project to try and kind of roll out NFC. But we worked with Public Health England, Matt Ashton and all those guys, and also speak to the Premier League about what to do. And their preference was to try and, if we can, use as much technology as possible to get people into the stadium. And it's purely so we know who's there. So if something does happen and there's a spike and all that kind of stuff, we know exactly who's in the stadium and where they were sitting. But to your point, that then makes it incredibly difficult because I'm a season ticket holder myself. I've been for 20-odd years. And you're right. You buy your season ticket and then you don't speak to the club at all for 12 months. You just turn up, you go in, you watch the match, and then you go to the pub. And trying to teach supporters how to use new technology was difficult. What I would say though is that everyone's embraced it. Supporters have followed the instructions that we've given them, which is good. I think as a society, I think people are trying to do that, or the majority of people are trying to do that. So when we've given relatively complex instructions and completely changed the way people go to the match, the potential was there for it to go wrong. A couple of the clubs went in before, so Brighton went before us and they had a few issues game one, but what they said to us was that everyone tried. I've been in the ticket office for both games, and what's really interesting, people come along and say, look, I've been trying to download this thing for the last 2 days and I can't do it, but they managed to get it done in the end. And everyone's kind of got in and done what we need them to do. So it's been really pleasing from that perspective.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that the sort of the positivity of people has been good. And I noticed as well on the nights, you know, the stewards as well just were spot on with me. And I've got to say that, you know, in terms of, you know, not being quite sure what we could and couldn't do effectively, do you know what I mean? And I just found that the stewards with me, there was the attitude of, it was a little bit, well, we're all in this together and we're all trying our best.
Yeah, and we've preached patience to all our colleagues. So, you know, be it ticket office staff were answering questions on the lead up to the match or on the match day itself, but also the stewards themselves. It's patience because this is new technology. This is new to everybody. So just don't assume everyone's going to turn up and say, well, yeah, this is dead easy. So yeah, the patience is key for everybody, I think, and including the supporters. And to be fair, the supporters have been really patient because, you know, you're not used to, unless you turn up at 10 to 3, you're not used to queuing up sometimes to get into the ground, and it's just a different way of working, and you're being asked to fill out questionnaires, and it's a bit more laborious to get into the game, but it's but everyone's been incredibly patient, which is really helpful, really good.
So there's another opportunity for another 2,000, which is West Brom, which is our next home game.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you've learnt along the way that you've done, that you do differently for West Brom? Is there any sort of changes, or is it more or less sort of the same process as people have been going through?
Yeah, for West Brom, it'll be pretty much the same. I think, you know, we're restricted to 2,000 fans in the Liverpool City region at the moment, which makes it a little bit difficult when, you know, we agreed with the fans forum guys a few months back that we would try and make it so everyone has a fair opportunity to go to at least one game. So that's the reason why we say if you go to Wolves, you can't go to Spurs, and Wolves and Spurs, you can't go to the next game. You know, that's fine at the moment, but I think as we expand up, we go away for more guidance from governments. And so if they decide to release the Liverpool City region thing, we may have to take a look at that. They increase the capacity up from the 2,000 to, say, 5,000, then hopefully further up from that, then we might have to have a little look at how we do things then as well. But for West Brom, there'll be no changes at all, John. It's exactly the same process, exactly the same plan. The ballot's just closed about an hour ago, so we're just going through the process now of running that ballot. We'll be publishing the results of things later on today, and there's first sales tomorrow morning. So there'll be no major changes to this one. But going forward, depending on what the government tells us we can and can't do, we might have to take a little look. But what we'll do is we'll have conversations with the fans forums, with Joe Blott and those guys at Spirit Shankly. We'll be having a good conversation with those guys before we do anything. And if we do something, it won't be anything major. It'll be tweaks around the edges, hopefully.
Yeah, you mentioned the West Brom. So that is someone who missed it completely for the first game. You know, if you do just missed out, you've got a decent chance, haven't you, Phil?
Yeah, for West Brom, I think you've all got a decent chance. You know, the numbers for Tottenham and Wolves, you had about a 1 in 4 chance. I think for West Brom, it's about a 1 in 2, 1 in 3 chance. So you got a better chance to go into this game. Hopefully, we'll get most people in if we can, because there's been a few people probably, you know, may have picked up the virus or couldn't go in the end. So there's been a few people who had to drop out from the Wolves and Spurs match after being successful. So we're hopeful we'll be able to get most people into the game if we can on the 27th. So it should be good.
Absolutely. I'm saying I'll be pleased for everyone. I'll be jealous on the day, but that's just the way it is for now. But we're happy that more people get to go with it. And can we do a bit of what next after that? And I know it's hard, Phil, and it's tricky because obviously we don't know what's going to happen in the country. We don't know what's going to happen, you know, in Liverpool in particular. And you're working day to day, and I appreciate that, mate. But if after West Brom, most people in this very select group of season ticket holders or 19 who live in the L postcodes have got in, would you then think about extending that before necessarily going around again? Because from a selfish point of view, I'd love to go around again, but then there might be people who are thinking, well, I've got 18 credits and is it my turn? I know people who work in Liverpool who live just outside, and like, you know, there's people who are all our friends in Ormskirk, a few, but I'll be honest with you, can't get in. You know, those are the things that you're thinking about, even if I'm sure you can't give me a hard and fast sort of, you know.
Yeah, I think, as I said, what we had back when he made the announcement, seems like last week, but it's about 4 or 5 weeks ago now, just before the Wolves match. But I think what we just need to do is we'll probably put our foot in the ball a little bit, to use the football analogy, after the West Brom match, and just take a look. We haven't got a game then till the 17th against Manchester United, which is the one everyone wants to go to. So I think we'll probably put our foot on the ball a little bit for the next couple of weeks and just see how it kind of pans out. I'm not sure. I didn't see when he's doing his next announcements over tiers, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we'll probably won't announce anything. We've been pretty consistent in not announcing anything until we've got that government guidance. I think, you know, the danger is you go out with something and Boris changes his mind the morning after and everyone's like, oh God, what do we do with this? So I think from our perspective, we'll probably hang fire over Christmas and see where we land. But I don't envisage massive changes, to be honest with you, John. I think we'll try and keep it pretty consistent. Your point around dropping it down to 18 is a good one, but I think it all depends on the numbers. If we stick at 2,000, there's probably still a big chunk of people who still want to go out of that group, and then we'll just take a view. And if he decides to up it to 5,000-6,000, whatever it is, and we will head the queue on that. We are banging the drum, both with DCMS and the Premier League, that we want to be, you know, part of any pilot that gets more supporters in, then we'll take a view on it then. But we haven't got any guidance, so I think we'll probably stick to the 2,000 and the same guidance and the same groups that we've got now. If we do any change, it would be minor tweaks around maybe the selling process and how we do that.
You must feel more or less ready for anything now, though, in terms of the future, because you planned for every number.
Genuinely, since March, we've been sitting here working on different scenarios. We must have had about 20 or 30 scenarios lined up in the summer. And the problem is, every time you get a scenario, you think, right, we're going with this, something changes. And as you know, this thing's changing. It is changing daily. Now we've got this new variant of the virus, and that's locked down London as tier four now. We didn't have a tier four last week. We had three tiers, and it's like, wow, okay. So I think the one thing we've learned from this is just don't take anything for granted. So we are trying to adapt. And I think that's where supportive patience has been really useful and really helpful for us, because I think everyone kind of gets that it is a difficult scenario and it is really difficult to try and kind of manage your way through it. We just want to get as many supporters as we can in. We don't want to be restrictive. We want to try and get as many as we can in. But equally, what we're doing at the moment is working with Matt Ashton, the Public Health England guys, to make sure that, you know, what the way we sell and how people get in is as tight as possible, so that if there's scope to do more, we can turn around and say, look, we're doing everything we can here. We're, you know, we've got the NSC, we've got all the track and trace and all the declaration forms ready to go, and people are doing what we need them to do. So come and use us, come and try and use us to get more supporters in. So that's kind of the position we're taking. You know, other clubs are doing similar, but I think we're pretty ahead of the game. There's ourselves and Spurs who are using NFC the most. And we are pretty ahead of the game with what we're trying to do. And that hopefully all goes well for getting more supporters in when we can.
So is that something you possibly might stick with moving forward then, Phil? Because a lot of businesses at the moment are saying that things that they've been forced to do, they've actually found, you know, pretty good practice and maybe further along. And I know for us, you know, we were always quite anti-Zoom, for example. We said, oh, we want to do every podcast in person, and you want that, whereas actually, you know, me and you might not have been able to do this, you know, if it had been, you know, trying to find, you know, a space in diaries where we could manage. And so has that been a similar thing for you guys, that you said, well, actually, you know, look, it's been a nightmare year, you know, as you say, you sell tickets for a living and there's no tickets, but have there been certain things that you thought were further down the line that you might introduce a bit sooner now?
Yeah, I mean, the big one's the NFC. So we were, like I said earlier on, the plan was always a two-year plan to kind of reinvent the way people access the stadium. NFC's massively prevalent over in the States, and less so over here at the moment, but I think a lot of clubs are now looking towards this. So our plan is absolutely to push out with NFC. It was a two-year plan. The plan was to introduce the new ticketing system in March, trial NFC a little bit back in the last season, and then this season it kind of expanded a little bit more. Obviously, we've had our hand forced somewhat. But I think the way it's been embraced by most supporters is really positive. And I think we'll probably end up trying to keep the NFC moving, trying to keep that going. Obviously, we need to look at the certain people who maybe not have the right technology, and there's kids and, you know, the over 65s maybe who struggle with it a little bit. And that's absolutely something that we've been working with the fans forum on, to make sure that we cover those guys off. But I think that's the big one that we take from this. How we sell tickets, obviously what's interesting is, you know, that means less people coming down to the ticket office and less physical tickets and collections and stuff like that. So there's different ways we can look at that. The ballots have gone relatively well. The new ticketing system handles ballots a lot better than the old ticketing system. So I think there's maybe scope for us to look at how we use the ballots going forward as well. But we haven't looked as far ahead as next season just yet. We're just trying to get through this season, and we'll worry about next season post Christmas, I think. But there's plenty of positives that we can take from the last 2 or 3 months, not so much the last 9 months before that, but certainly the last couple of months, there's been a lot of positives that we can look to roll for. But we'll only do that with full consultation. We're not going to just dump things on supporters. We'll work through it in a positive way if we can, and see where we end up.
Yeah, we'll all see where we end up. Thanks a lot to Phil for coming on and explaining a few things about the process and moving forward as well. And I would say to anyone who isn't successful in the ballot for West Brom, do check your waiting list number and do check those sales and learn from my mistake from Wolves. So then I got in Tottenham and I got that last minute winner, so it all turned out great. Phil, Tom, man, thanks very much.
Cheers, John. Thanks a lot, mate. Sports Social Podcast Network.